and I'm back. Who booed? Who booed? Before we start, I want to do a little activity. Yeah, exactly. If you're able, would you please stand? And it would be wonderful if everyone joined in. And what I want is I want you to hold this person's hand and you to hold this person. And for it to go all the way around the church, to snake around the church, snake around the church, and for you to complete the link. So that we're all joined, so that we're all holding two people's hands. It would be really wonderful if we could do that. If everyone's holding at least two hands, if you're holding more than two hands, something's gone really wrong. If everyone's holding two hands, we want to try this experiment. I have two forks here. Very strange, isn't it? If you just you two could split and hold a fork each. And now we're going to try an experiment. Bear with me. Okay. So after three, we're going to jam the forks in here and see what happens. Keep holding each other's hands.
It really is plugged in, isn't it?
No, it's not. I weren't holding anyone's hand. That would just be silly. That was a really silly example, but will become more relevant as we speak about this talk. I am. We're going through the I ams. In the last few weeks, we've been looking at the seven I ams that Jesus prophetically spoke about himself, but also importantly, prophetically spoke about us, who we are to him as an I am. Today we're going to be looking at, hopefully, I am the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine. A great example. We're all connected to the one vine. To put it into context, in time, this was said to his disciples at the end of his ministry. Judas had already gone to betray him. So within 2 days, he was going to go to Gethsemane. He was going to be betrayed. He was going to be brought in front of Pilate. He was going to be crucified. He knew he was coming to the end of his ministry. And he speaks to his disciples about a vine. The reason he spoke about a vine is because it was something they were familiar with. Have you ever listened to the stories that Jesus talks about? It's always something familiar. He talks about animals. He talks about the lion and the lamb, the lost sheep. He calls himself the shepherd. The reason for that is they understood about animals. Not in the same way we understand about animals. They couldn't go to Iceland to get a leg of lamb. They had the whole lamb. They had animals. They understood animals. And a lot of his stories were also agricultural, farming, because they knew about that. The mustard seed, the sower, the wheat and the tares. And now we come to this story. I am the vine. A significant illustration to the people he was going to be speaking to. We're going to be looking at the first 17 verses of John 15. If you have your Bibles, please follow along in your Bibles. But for the first reading, it would be great if you look at the screen, because I've colour-coded the text, because I want to show you the differences. There's going to be some red text and there's going to be some yellow text. Look at the significance of the different colours as we read it together. First 11 verses, Jesus says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such a branch is picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. When you heard that text, how did you feel? What did you think? When you read the different coloured texts, did it impact you? Were you a red person or a yellow person? Did you focus on the wonderful promises of the yellow text? Or did you focus on the slightly worrying red text? The yellow text was comforting. There was something reassuring about what he said. You will bear much fruit. Ask whatever you wish. Remain in me, and you will be even more fruitful. And that was alongside the text in red that was more concerning, that would make you think. Branches that do not bear fruit will be cut off. They will be separated. They will be put to one side. And finally, they'll be thrown into the fire. Were you a red person focusing on the truths and the promises that Jesus was saying? Or were you a red person looking at the negatives and wondering and hoping that you didn't fall into that category? As we look at this text together, hopefully you will understand what this passage is really about. Whether you are a red person or a yellow person, the true theme of this passage is simple. If we stay connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, we will live. So let's look at the passage. Jesus calls himself the vine. But more than that, he calls himself the true vine. Jesus would have been, the disciples would have been familiar with vines. They would have been everywhere. They'd have been outside their houses. They'd have been down the road from them. If they wanted some grapes, they'd have just gone and picked them. They would have been familiar with them, not like us where we have to go to a shop. The disciples would have known about it. So Jesus puts himself different. He separates himself from those vines by saying he's more than just another vine. He's the true vine. The word true means, translates to real or genuine. He is the genuine vine, the one and only vine. Other vines are fake. He continues this illustration of a vine by saying that his father is a gardener. A gardener is so important in a vineyard. A gardener is the one who plants, who waters, who looks after, who cares for, who tends, who makes sure that they get the best crop out of the vines. But a gardener is also the one that walks down the line and pulls off the branches that are no good, that cuts off the dead wood and cuts off the branches that are not producing fruit. And Jesus goes on in this illustration by bringing us in and saying we are the branch. We are the branches. One vine, many branches. Intertwined, connected. Every branch has a part. Every branch has an ability to produce fruit if tended well. We are the branches. We're connected. We stretch out. We go our different ways, but we're all connected to the one branch. And what is the purpose of a branch? To produce fruit. It's the whole purpose of a vine. A vine would be useless if it didn't produce fruit. And our purpose is to produce fruit. Our purpose is to fulfill the vine's job, to produce fruit. But what's fruit? Some people will say fruit are the people that we bring along, the people that we lead to Christ. Some people will say fruit is spiritual gifts. Some people will quote Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And some would say it's becoming more like Christ. And all of them are fruits. But Jesus sums it up even better than all of them. He sums it up perfectly by saying fruit is anything that brings glory to his Father. Anything that brings glory to God. What's our fruit like? What's our fruit like? Fruit shows who we are, but fruit also shows whose we are. Fruit shows who we are, but it also shows whose we are. Quick quiz. Which one of those leaves comes from a vine, a grapevine? Put your hand up if you think it's A. And everyone has to put their hand up at least once. Put your hand up if you think it's A. Anyone think it's A? Anyone think it's B? Oh, you're rubbish. You're too good. That did not work at all. That was going to be the hint. And for those who picked A, which was none of you, that's poison ivy. Mostly, we will recognise a tree by its fruit. We will recognise what a flower is by what we see, not just by its leaf or not by its seed. We recognise a tree by its fruit. Obviously, B was the right answer. In the first 11 verses, what have we seen? In the first 11 verses, we have seen Jesus calling himself the true vine. God is the gardener, the good gardener. We are the branches whose job it is to produce fruit. And that fruit brings glory to God. We haven't even got to the main theme of this passage yet. As I continue down to verses 12 to 17, we hear what Jesus was really teaching his disciples and what he's teaching us today. Let's read on. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. When Jesus talked about himself as the vine, the important part was that we are connected to him. I am the vine. But connection is important. We need to be connected to that vine. The main theme of the passage is connected. Are we connected to that one Christ, that one true vine? Remember that silly thing that we did at the start of the service, where we all held hands, and these people weren't brave enough to jam those forks into... If they had done, we'd have all felt the electricity. And just as a word of warning, please do not try that at home. Because we're connected. Now imagine that if I'd have asked All Saints to join us, or the Strict Baptist Church, or Ichthus, or all the churches of Belvedere, or all the churches of the world. Because that's what Jesus was talking about, that Christians are connected to one branch, Jesus Christ. That the lifeblood that comes through the root system, through the trunk of Jesus, through his teaching, through his word, comes into the branches of every Christian who is connected to him. Connection. We are connected because we have one vine. We are linked together. I've heard a number of Christians on a number of occasions say, you don't actually need to go to church to be a Christian. Technically, they're probably right, but it's a very dangerous move. We're all connected. You start removing us from everything, from everyone else, and you start losing the purpose of what it means to be connected to the true vine. We are designed for relationships. Right from Genesis chapter 1, we are designed to be with others. In a marriage, in our family, in our friends, in our workplace, even standing in a bus queue, it's nice to have someone else there with us. But we are designed to be in relationship. We are designed to be connected to Jesus Christ. That's why he sent his Spirit to live in us. 10 times in the 17 verses, we hear this phrase, remain in me. He constantly says it. I don't believe that there is one word, one decimal, one full stop in the Bible that is not there for a reason. And when in such a short time, the Bible says 10 times remain in me, the reason it says it so many times is because it's important. Remain in me. Be connected. When you think about a trunk of a vine or a tree, it doesn't produce fruit. It's the branches that produce fruit. But can a branch produce fruit on its own? Verse 4 says that no branch can produce fruit on its own. We can do nothing without God. Hang on, it's a bit of a dodgy thing to say, isn't it? I've done some brilliant things at work. I've built software at work. I've done some wonderful things. But I am a wonderful person. But that means nothing to the kingdom values. That means nothing to the kingdom. If we do something in our own strength, it means nothing. What really means something, the fruit that really impacts, is the fruit that brings glory to God. And that can only be done when we are connected to the one true vine, Jesus Christ. We need to be connected to one another. Verses 12 and 17 says, love each other. Well, I love most of you, but there are a few of you that are quite hard to love. Is that how we feel when we come to church? Oh, I won't sit near them. I've never forgiven them for what they did 27 years ago. Really? We are the body of Christ. We should love each other. The Bible goes on even worse than that and says we should love our enemies. So how hard can it be loving Christians? Do we love one another? What are our fruits? Are our fruits bitterness, anger, pride, jealousy? Or are our fruits love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness? Love one another. He goes even further than saying love one another. What he puts in front of that is wonderful. This is my command. He tells us that we need to be connected to the branch, but then he commands us to love one another, because that is part of being connected to the true vine, that we love one another. Verse 12, this is my command, love each other as I have loved you. And verse 17 just says, this is my command, love one another. At the end of the service, I want you all to hug someone. No. But we should love one another because we're connected. There is a connection. So how do we stay connected? There are two areas where we really need to stay connected that it talks about in this passage, and these are so vital. These are things that are absolutely imperative as Christians, and we talk about it over and over again, and people go, ugh. The first one is prayer. Verses 7 and 16 both tell us to ask whatever you ask. Prayer is not an opportunity for us to bring a shopping list. It's an opportunity for us to bring our hearts and for Jesus to give us his heart. I grew up as a Catholic as a young boy. I was about 6, I suppose, when I started going to Catholic church, and ended when my dad died, because he was the one that forced us to go. And every month we had to go into this little box, we had to sit down, talk to a man behind a screen, tell him all the horrible things we did, the really big sins that we did, you know, like farting in church and things like that. The really horrific sins when you're 8 years old. And then he would say, go away, do 2 Hail Marys and Our Father. Prayer was a punishment. As a kid, I grew up and prayer was a punishment. If you sinned, you have to go away and you have to pray. And it was a punishment. As I became a Christian at the age of about 20, prayer was amazing. Prayer was a time where you could genuinely connect with God. I've used this analogy so many times, but every time I use it, I see people nodding. So I'll use it again. How many people have ever been in a prayer meeting or thought about something when people have been praying for and say, right, I'll say that next one. When that person stops, I'll say about this. And then someone else says it. We're connected. We're connected. When we pray, we don't just talk to the air. We don't just talk up to God and hope it reaches through the clouds and gets to him. We are connected to God. Prayer is a way that we can speak with our Father and speak with the true vine, because we are connected. Prayer is wonderful. I pray walking down the street with headphones in, listening to gospel, listening to worship music, and I pray and I pray. And the number of times that I've been so involved in prayer that I shut my eyes, walk down the road, open my eyes, and there's a person standing in front of me, and it's, because I get involved, because I really get completely and utterly transformed in prayer. It's amazing. The one way we can connect with our Father is through prayer. The second way that we can really get involved, we can really stay connected to the true vine, is in his word. How many people pick their Bible off the shelf and do this? Before opening it. Just saying. It's so easy, isn't it, to just read scripture on a Sunday when you come to church. Because let's face it, it's the same old words. Is it? Or is it every time you read it, there's something different that jumps out? There's something different that you think, wow, that's talking directly to me. When you read Jesus' teaching, you think how far I am from it. I have got so far to go. That my desire is to be more like Jesus. We will only understand what it means to be like Jesus when we read his word, when we consume his word. Again, personally, it's the only way to do it, because if you do it personally, the number of times when I used to work in London, I used to read the Bible on the way to work on a train. The number of times people moved away from me when I'm sobbing reading parts of the Bible. Fantastic. Because it really gets into your spirit, it gets into your heart. It changes us. Verse 15 says this, I call you my friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He made known to his disciples by talking to them. He can't do that now. The way he talks to us now is through his word. His word is powerful. His word is amazing. Church often use prayer and reading the Bible as a big stick that they beat Christians up with. You don't pray enough. You don't read your Bible enough. But if you see it as a chore, that's all it can be, a stick. If you see it as a way of connecting to the true vine, the Almighty God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, it then no longer becomes a stick, but a pleasure, a joy, a time where we can turn off Emmerdale and spend half an hour reading the Bible instead. We've always got catch up. Prayer is amazing. People often put calendar events in for meetings. Put a calendar event in for prayer. Put a calendar event in for reading the Bible. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Our fruits will be shown because of where we are connected. Are we connected to the true vine? Do we connect to that true vine in our prayer and in our Bible reading? Because that is the only place where good fruit comes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in your power, I know that you could click your fingers and everything will be right. That every Christian will be perfect and all the troubles of this world will go. But in your mercy, you don't do that. You allow us as Christians to connect to you. You allow us as Christians to be a part of your amazing plan. You sent your Holy Spirit that he will dwell amongst us. He will dwell in us and talk on the things of your heart in our prayers and as we read your word. Help us, Lord Jesus, to fully connect, to really desire to connect to the true vine, to connect to Jesus, his thoughts, his wills, his desires, and let those desires become our desires become his as we read and get to know him more. I thank you, Lord, that you are the true vine. Help us remain connected as branches, that we can bring glory to your Father. Amen.
But let's say the words of the grace to each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.